Ken McLeod. From the day we launched unfetteredmind.org, it has operated without a paywall, advertising, or a subscription charge. This is only possible through the generosity of people like you. If you find our materials useful, please make a donation at unfetteredmind.org/donate. Thank you, and enjoy this podcast.
Unfettered Mind, Part 3.
And we're going to be building this up in stages. And some of it we'll do in English, and some of it I'll do in Tibetan, but I'll make sure that you are aware of what you are meant to be doing. Is that not on? Sorry. How's that? What you're meant to be doing at each stage. We actually start on page 17 here with the lineage prayer. This is called the short Vajradhara prayer in Tibetan, the Dorje Chung, which is the Tibetan for Vajradhara, Chungma. And it's arguably the most commonly recited prayer in the Kagyu tradition. It was written by a lama, and I just about had his name on my mind, because I never, you can't remember his name, can you, Dan? No. I think it's Lama Jumpal or something like that. But it's homage to the whole Kagyu tradition that comes through Marpa, Milarepa, and Gampopa. And after that, it divides out into a lot of different lineages. And it's very highly regarded because in the four verses which comprise the body of the prayer are all the instructions that are key in the Kama Kagyu, or in the Kagyu tradition, as it is. So let us read this together. Great Vajradhara, Tilo, Naro, Marpa, Mila, Lord Gampopa, Dusum Champa, totally aware Karmapa, holders of the four great and eight lesser lineages, masters of the profound path of Mahamudra, the instruction lineages of Dakpo, the peerless protector of beings, Trikung, Taklung, Tsalpa, and the glorious Drukpa, I pray to you, teachers of the instruction lineage, I follow your lineage, give me the energy for spiritual freedom. Disgust and disenchantment are the legs of meditation, so the teachings say. To this meditator who does not yearn for comfort and wealth and has severed ties to this life, give me the energy to stop longing for money or prestige. Respect and devotion form the head of meditation, so the teachings say. To this meditator who continuously prays, to the teacher who opens the doors to the treasury of fifth instructions, give me the energy to discover uncontrived respect and devotion. Non-distraction is the substance of meditation, so the teachings say. To this meditator who lets the essence of any moment resh, press right there, in the moment, not doing anything with it. Give me the energy for a mind free from working at meditation. The essence of thought is what is, so the teachings say. To this meditator who arises as an unceasing play, being nothing at all, but arising as anything, give me the energy to know that samsara and nirvana are not separate. Then, you form the intention to practice the practice of cutting, or as Sarah Harding chose to translate it as severance, kind of neat, with the intention of bringing all the things that cause disturbance in your life to full awakening. That's what this next verse is about. All of us, beginning with our enemies that provoke anger, impediments that generate harm, conditions that cause interruptions, obsessions with mortality, local disturbances, physical disturbances, and our own parents, in short, all sentient beings whose numbers are as infinite as space, will attain the direct understanding of the Supreme Mother. Consequently, I take up the profound practice of the holy ground where obsessions are cut down. Now, we invite all of these disturbances and literally imagine that they just gather all around you. Everything that just makes a mess out of your life. All spirits, weak and small, don't be afraid. Don't be frightened. Don't be frightened at all. All sentient beings, from the highest planes of existence down to the depths of the worst hells, listen to me. Just a second. Stop. One sec. Listen to me. Come here, all of you. Come here, quickly, all of you. Now, with all of these around, you take refuge, and they're all taking refuge with you. And we go right through to, and you could put a mark here, to the end of the second stanza on page 20. In addition to taking refuge, we form a number of aspirations and go through some short forms of formal rituals of devotion and confession and offerings and renewing, deepening the commitment or the engenderment of awakening mind, so forth. The meaning is quite clear. If there are any questions, we can take them up afterwards. All of us, beginning with our enemies that provoke anger, impediments that generate harm, situations that cause interruptions, obsessions with mortality, local disturbances, physical disturbances, and our own parents, in short, all sentient beings whose number is infinite as space. We go for refuge in the teacher. We go for refuge in the Buddha. We go for refuge in the Dharma. We go for refuge in the Sangha. We go for refuge in the teacher. We go for refuge in the Buddha. We go for refuge in the Dharma. We go for refuge in the Sangha. We go for refuge in the teacher. We go for refuge in the Buddha. We go for refuge in the Dharma. We go for refuge in the Sangha. We go for refuge in the glorious teachers of the Chut lineage who attained mastery. We go for refuge in the Dakinis of the three levels. We go for refuge in the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who abide in the ten directions. We go for refuge in the Sugatas of the five families. We go for refuge in the lords of the three families. We go for refuge in the teacher Vajradhakini and her retinue. We go for refuge in the Kaju teachers and their retinue of Dakinis. We go for refuge in our kind root teachers and their retinue of Dakinis. We go for refuge in mind itself, empty, unborn Dharmakaya. We pray for refuge. Please take us under your protection. I and all sentient beings rely on the Buddha. We rely on the Dharma. We rely on the Sangha. May what all beings do be virtuous. May what they say be virtuous. May what they feel be virtuous. May they be cured of the 404 kinds of illness. May they be free from the 91 kinds of unexpected disturbances. May they not be disrupted by the 360 emotional states. May the 80,000 kinds of interruptions naturally die down. May they naturally let go, and may they naturally go away. I pay homage to the three jewels. I take refuge in the three jewels. I give offerings to the three jewels. I confess all unwholesome actions. I rejoice in the good works of others. I rely on Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. Until awakening, I take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Supreme Assembly. In order to realize the aims of all of us, I give rise to awakening mind. I regard all beings as my guests and engage in the actions of awakening beings. I will attain full awakening to help all beings. Just as the Buddhas of the three times gave rise to the supreme awakening mind that definitely brings about pure awakening, I also give rise to the sacred aspiration and ask all those who have done so to think of me, not only to think of me, but to look after me. Okay, so this completes the beginning of the beginning. Now, the next phase is setting up what is called the field of offering, or the assembly field. And as I described yesterday, we have Machik as the central figure, with Padampa Songje, Vajrayogini, and Tara, and Buddha Shakyamuni, and Prajnaparamita, and all the hordes of protectors, and all of the demons and things that cause disturbance. If you can't do all of that, just do Machik. And you have a picture of Machik at the beginning and at the end of the book. And regard her as the union of all of the sources of refuge, everything that inspires you to practice. And below her arraigned are all of the forces in the world that either that create disturbance in your mind. And the disturbances are generally of two kinds. One is they elicit attraction, so they disturb us by eliciting desire and want and need in us. And the other way they create disturbance is that they create unpleasant situations. So these are things we want to push away and get rid of. So all of these forces, in whatever shape you want to imagine them, I was reading Machik's complete explanation earlier today, and says sometimes gods appear as demons and sometimes demons appear as gods, and that sometimes in order to fool you, these disturbing forces appear as exactly what you want, you know, and so you're sucked in. And sometimes the things that really do you good appear in forms that are just really, that really put you off. So it's just, and really let your imagination run wild here. So, because the main point is to create a sense that you're really inviting and bringing in everything that A, inspires you, that's Machik and all of the lineage gurus and so forth, and B, all the things that just make a mess out of your life, one way or another. And we'll read through the next few lines down to page 21, the middle of 21. Yes? Yeah. No, not. They're included in that, but much broader than that. So all of the local gods, local deities, and anything that, and this is how it's explained, anything that elicits attraction and desire and need in us, you know, and we want that. That's the disturbance of mind that moves us out of presence. No, it's what creates disturbance. Okay, and sometimes wanting things and desire, you know, which feels good in a certain way, and that creates disturbance. And certainly the stuff that makes us feel angry and irritated, that creates disturbance. Okay? So, and when they're all, when you feel that they're all present, and the term visualization is very unfortunate in English because everybody feels they have to see something. So it's much better to work with just imagining this happening, just imagining it. Then you don't feel that you have to see something. And just get the feeling of it. And then George very kindly made up these cards. Every one of them, but particularly Machik, has, and you don't have to use the Tibetan. If you're like the Tibetan or familiar with it, that's fine. But there's a white om, the forehead, red ah, the throat, blue hung at the heart. And when you finish that stanza, actually a little bit before then, at the end of the line, there's a blue hung. At the end of line, a red ah, and at the heart a blue hung. At that point, I'll pick up the bell and drum, and then we'll do the next line together. To the beat of the drum, light shines from the hungs in their hearts and bites them. And then we'll just do, I'll just do the bell and the drum together for a while. As you let this your imagination really take form, and at the crown, at the head, of, there's the om, throat, ah, heart, the blue hung, and light shines from these and invites Machik and all the lineage gurus and all of the disturbances. So we have in one, at one time the imagined form, and then we feel that the actual form, so to speak, come, and just makes the whole thing really, really vivid. And I'll be blowing the trumpet to invite them, the thigh bone trumpet, and the drum will gradually get faster and faster. As you say, Vajra Samaya Jahung Bomho, and they merge and unite. And then we'll go into the next song, which I will sing in Tibetan, if you can handle my singing voice, which is something else. But you can read along, because this is the meaning in Tibetan, and basically it's a prayer of homage to everything that you've imagined in front of you. Now, I will stop there, and we'll go into the next visualization, which is a purification practice. Okay? Is that clear enough to proceed? In the sky before me is my kind root teacher, who is one with Machik Lapdrum. Her body is white like a conch shell. She has one face and two arms, the right beating a gold drum held high, the left holding a silver bell to her hip, her three eyes staring into space. Her hair is black, half of it tied up on her head, the rest falling freely over her back. Her naked body is adorned with bold and jewel ornaments. Her right leg is drawn in, her left extended in dancing posture. Around her are all the teachers of the Kagyu tradition. To her right is Padampa Sangje and the teachers of the father lineage. To her left is Vajrayogini and the five Dakinis, surrounded by the mother lineage. Above is Buddha Shakyamuni, surrounded by the non-dual lineage. Above him is the great mother, surrounded by the lineage of attained masters of Chuk. Below Machik are all the gods and demons of existence, including... heart and blue hung. start into the prayer of homage. And I'm going to have to turn a page in the middle of it. As I thought it was. Now, with this field of offering, the first meditation is a purification practice. And in Matchik's heart, you imagine there is the flat disk of the moon, and above that, the white syllable Hung. And around that, the mantra of the perfection of wisdom, Amgati Gati Paragati Parasamgati Bodhisvaha. And imagine light shining out from Machik's heart, from the seed syllable of Hung and the mantra in her heart, drawing in all of the power and energy of the Buddhas, of the Ten Directions, the Bodhisattvas, the energy of the lineage. It all comes and condenses in her, so she's filled with all of this energy. And as you recite the mantra of the perfection of wisdom, an elixir drips from the Hung in her heart, and it fills her whole form. And it comes out from the toe of her, she's in, of her right foot, and pours into you. And as it pours into you, your body is filled with this elixir, and all of the unwholesome action that you've ever done takes the form of like black tar and vermin and pus and blood and everything that's disgusting, and pours out of your body down to the very depths of the earth. And this process goes on and on until your body is as clear and bright and as transparent as crystal. This is what we now do as we recite this mantra together. Om Gati Gati Paragati Parasangati Bodhisvaha. Om Gati Gati Paragati Parasangati. Om Gati Gati Para Gati Para Sam Gati Bodhisvaha. Now, continuing to imagine your body radiant like crystal, and Machik, and all the offerings vividly, brilliantly present in front of you. Imagine that from the Om Ah Hung on Machik's three points, light radiates out, and invites hundreds and hundreds of thousands of offering goddesses, and they pour out of your heart, they pour out of everywhere, and they offer everything that arises in form. And this is symbolized as them holding mirrors so that it reflects everything that exists in the whole world universe and all its world systems. And you offer these as symbols of awakened form. and you pray for the power of unchanging form. This prayer actually was written by Machik herself. And then and all of those goddesses are white, and then the red goddesses appear, and they're holding bells, and they offer all sound throughout and everywhere in the universe, and as symbols of awakened speech. And I can't remember what they're holding for. The blue goddesses offer everything that arises as thought or mental, any kind of mental activity, and you offer that as a symbol of awakened mind, and then you offer all of the happiness or suffering, in other words, all experience that arises, you offer as symbols of good fortune, and you pray for everyone to be happy and for everyone to be free of suffering. Now I'm going to sing this in Tibetan. I can find it. This actually completes the end of the beginning, and it's as far as we're going to go this evening. So, questions and any explanations you would like on any parts that we've talked about so far? There's a lot here. Yes, John. Yes. The hung in the heart? Yeah. See, it gets very complicated. You have Ama hung, the white, red, and blue. And those are on the surface of her body, but in her heart, there's a white one. Okay. Yes, Gail. Yes. The mantra? Yeah, actually the mantra does spin, but I wasn't going to add that complication. If you can do that, that's great. You know, but actually as you're reciting the mantra spins and elixir pours down from her, fills her body, pours out, fills your body, and this just goes on and on, washing everything away that you've ever done, everything you ever regretted. Wonderful. Okay. Any other questions? Or you just don't know what to ask? So if you go back to the original you actually have the practice text here, and minus the songs and the tunes, this is something that some of you may feel like incorporating into your practice. And one of these days, the stuff will be translated into a form that you can actually sing in English, which would be very nice, but that's hard. I've tried that several times and I just haven't been successful at it yet. But this is a practice that you can use if you wish, and I hope that my intention is that by the end of this retreat, actually by the middle of this retreat, you will have all of the elements to be able to do it on your own using this text. Does that answer your question? What's the next one? What's the next question? No, I just did it. Well, of course, yes, it's a practice, right? And, I mean, I did this every night for about 5 years. More than that. I mean, I got very sick in the second retreat. And even when I was very sick, I tried to do this practice because it helped. Because it's all about just surrendering to the illness. And so I tried to do it. So, I love the practice because there's it's so rich. And so complete, and covers every aspect of practice. You know, taking refuge, generating awakening mind, very, very key elements all through this is the generation of awakening mind, purification offerings, and then you get to offer up your body to all of these demons, and you just feel lighter by the end of it. And particularly when you're not feeling very well, and you really feel like the karmic debt collectors are at the door. So there they are. Okay? But yeah, it takes time to learn it all. And even after you've learned it all, it takes time to really get the feel. But once you get the feel, and you get the feel by going through it again and again and again, then it has a definite flow. And what's very interesting is this is exactly the sequence that Machik herself taught in the 12th century. It comes straight from her, and some of the prayers are written by her when she was teaching this to her students. So it's got a wonderful lineage. Any other questions? No, we learned it all orally. We were taught the songs and nothing was written down. Interesting. Surprised you could recognize anything with my singing. But okay. But another thing is that the drum, which is just, it's about that speed. And just keep it going. All through the visualizations. And that's about the speed of a resting heart. So it helps to induce a kind of quiet and rest in the mind, which allows the you to imagine more clearly everything that's taking place. So, anything else before we close for this evening? Yes. Well, as you gain versatility in the practice, yes, you can imagine that the elixir pouring out of Machik not only purifies you of all of the unwholesome actions you've done, purifies all sentient beings. And yes, you can imagine that all sentient beings join with you in making these offerings. So it becomes everybody's involved in it. And it's very good to do it, to practice that way. It's not just you. Everybody's engaged in it, and everybody's participating. Because don't forget what's running through here. Everything that you experience is an expression, a manifestation of your own mind. So when you can include everything in your experience as part of the ritual, you're actually including everything in your own mind. That's what makes it so wonderful. Okay? Anything else? Okay. Yes?
It's kind of, in general, looking at this visualization practice, is it a good idea to try to maintain the basic meditative practice?
You mean resting mind?
Yeah, resting mind.
That really helps. Yeah, it really helps. I mean, ideally, the whole sense of Machik and all the lineage being present and all of the disturbances being present and the sentiments such as taking refuge, awakening mind, making the offerings, all of that is arising out of the resting mind without the resting mind being disturbed. That's a little tricky, but that's the best way to practice. Okay. Anything else? All right. Have a good evening. See you in the morning.
Retains all rights to these podcasts. If you do wish to use a part or a whole podcast, please send an email to podcasts@unfetteredmind.org.